Well, g'day North Coast and happy Easter to you wherever you are. Great to be with you on this special day. We're in 1 Corinthians 15 today and we're going to read verses 1 to 7 and then 51 to 58. Then we'll pray and jump into it. So grab your Bible and have a look with me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to 7. This is the word of God. Let's listen to it together. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Now, 51, verses 51 to 58. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, that is, we won't all die. Some will be living when Jesus returns, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will become true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray together. Father, have mercy on us today, this sweet day, Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask now that you would speak. We thank you that you've not left us in the dark, but your word is powerful and effective. And we ask, Father, that you would speak now, change our hearts, that we might lift our eyes off of the world and onto the risen Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Where is your hope? What is the thing you're putting your trust in for what lies ahead of us? It's weird times, unsettling times. There's fear, there's uncertainty all over the place. Where is your hope? For some, it's money and the security it supposedly brings. I'll be okay as long as I've got enough in the bank. For others, it's relationships and the comfort they bring. At least I've got my family around me. For some, it's our possessions, a house full of entertainment and distractions. If Netflix crashes, we're all doomed, right? And still others, it's ourselves. We look inside ourselves for strength. At least I've got my health and I've got my inner strength. I'll be okay. But deep down, we all know those things don't work in the end. None of them give us what we're looking for. Where is your hope? In the midst of chaos and uncertainty, more and more in these current days, where is your hope for the future? I heard of a couple who lived to build up their savings and their superannuation. Common thing in our world, isn't it? So they worked very hard, built up a nest egg of cash, and put their time into it, put their energy in it, into it, put their hope in it. And every time I think of these guys, I can't help but think of this old cartoon called Scrooge McDuck. Don't know if you've heard of Scrooge McDuck, but he hoarded all his gold, all his cash, all his gold in this huge vault, a mountain of gold, just him and his gold. And he even tried diving into his gold and face-planted. It wouldn't give him the joy that he was looking for. This couple who I'm thinking about put their hope for their future in their savings. They look to their cash for security and strength, like Scrooge McDuck. They hoped it would give them everything that they desired in the years to come, the years that lay ahead of them. But unfortunately, the husband died, got sick and died, and it was too late. They'd put their hope in something that appeared secure and good, but it was actually shallow and powerless. Where is your hope for your future? What are you putting your hope in right now? Today we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's being raised physically to life. And today God wants to convince you in his word, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, that there's one event. This one big event of the resurrection is the one place we can go to for certain hope for our future. Today, God is going to speak in his word in the midst of words being spoken all over the place to us, in the midst of messages coming at us, all these words that might cause us to wobble. God speaks his powerful, his strong word of certain hope. Throughout the centuries, Christians have believed that Jesus not only died on the cross for our sins, but he was raised physically from the dead. And Christians continue to believe that the resurrection from the dead was grounded in history. It's grounded in history. Verses 3 to 5 of 1 Corinthians tell us that, don't they? If you've got your Bible open, have a look. They say that Jesus Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that is, the Old Testament predicted that that would happen, that he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. Now, if that passage stopped there, we could be forgiven for thinking there's not much evidence to support it. But what comes next? There's three key words. And he appeared. And he appeared. If you want to make sure something actually happened in the past, you need to do one thing. You need to ask someone who was there. I sometimes have trouble believing that the West Coast Eagles won premierships in 1992 and 1994. You know, it was a long time ago and they're not that good. The Dockers beat them this year, by the way, just saying. But it just so happens that my dad was at the 1994 grand final. He was at the MCG. He saw the Eagles win the premiership in 94. And so every now and again, I ask, Dad, are you sure the Eagles won in 94? It's a long time. He said, yes, Matt, I was there. When it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, it's like that. We need to go to people who were there. And that's what verse 5 tells us. Have a look in your Bibles. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 15. And he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. You see, heaps and heaps of people saw Jesus die on the cross. And heaps of people saw him again, raised to new life, physically. So let's presume for a second that you do believe it. You do believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. So what? What's the big deal? Easter Sunday, we make a big deal of it. Well, two words. Certain hope. Savings, superannuation won't do it. Houses, money, possessions, strength in yourself won't do it. Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead will give you the certain hope that you're after. Two things for us today, two big things from 1 Corinthians 15. Number one, certain hope for the future is secured when death is defeated. Have a look at verse 55 of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul quotes an Old Testament prophet, Hosea, with these amazing words. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see what Paul's saying to us here? Death has a punch. It's got a sting in it. When someone dies, you see, you look at the loved ones around you, it stings, it hurts. That sting, we're told, is because of sin. It's like a stinger on a scorpion. Death roams around the world and has power because of sin. Why? Because when you die, you must face up to your sins. You must front up before the God who made you as a sinner, as a rebel, as someone who's turned away from Him. You've done your own thing, and sin must be punished. It's got to be dealt with. And when Jesus dies, He takes it all in our place. Jesus deals with death at the cross. And so we say, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? We now taunt death. That's what this is doing. It's like, where is your sting? Death, you got nothing on me. Death, you're dead. Because my Savior killed you. We can look death in the eye and say, you got nothing on me. One day, a little girl and her dad were driving in a car, and the little girl was excited. She was going to a party, and they stopped at a traffic light. The window was open, and a bee came in through the window into the car. The little girl screamed, Dad, Dad, there's a bee in the car. And Dad heard the scream, turned off the radio, turned around. She said, Dad, help. Stay still, said the dad. He watched as the bee kind of buzzed around and was about to land on his daughter, and the dad reached out and grabbed the bee. And the girl relaxed. Phew, Dad's got it sorted. Dad smiled, she smiled, and then the dad let go of the bee. And the bee flew out. Dad, she screamed. Don't worry, he said. Bees only have one sting, and it just stung me. When Jesus dies, the sting of death is taken. Sin is dealt with. Sin and death sting Jesus instead of you and me. And when Jesus comes back from the dead, He's victorious over sin and death. Death cannot hold Him down. He is risen. One old theologian said, it's the death of death. It's killed by life. Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. That is, He's the first to be born new in a resurrection body that lasts forever. We all die, don't we? We know that. It's true of everyone. We're perishable. Our bodies get old. They wither. They get wrinkly. I have to wear glasses now. And so our hope for living forever is pretty shaky, isn't it? If you're perishable. If you went into a nursing home and asked the old faithful people there, hey, how certain are you're going to live another 50 years, another 100 years, another 200 years? I think they might get a little grumpy. We're perishable. We need something imperishable, something eternal. We need someone to deal with our withering and dying. We need to be clothed with imperishable. We're mortals. We need to be clothed with immortality. And there's only one place for that. Jesus Christ. He defeats death. He takes the sting out of it at the cross and rises to new life. Death has no power over Him. And so if you're a Christian, you can say, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? Death, you got nothing on me. My Savior killed you, and now He lives. Can you see what this means? It means hope. 100% certain hope. We who are perishable can be clothed with the imperishable. So let me ask you, how do you deal with your death? How do you deal with the fact you're going to die? You might not get sick of coronavirus, but you are going to die. Coronavirus will get a few, get many. But there's a worse virus that gets 100%. 100% strike rate. How do you deal with your death? How you do it will radically affect your hope for the future. The risen Jesus Christ says these amazing words. I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. Do you believe this? Certain hope for the future is secured when death is defeated. Secondly, certain hope means we will be raised to new life with Jesus forever. Have a look at verses 51 and 52 of 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul says this, listen, turn your ears on. I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Just like that. We'll be raised, just like Jesus, like that. In a flash, twinkling of an eye, trumpet sounds, dead raised imperishable, and we're changed. Do you see, this is amazing. The perishable us will be clothed with the imperishable Jesus. Did you get it? The perishable us, wither, die, are now clothed with the imperishable Jesus. Risen Jesus says, it's my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son, that's Jesus, and believes in him, trusts him, shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. There is hope, certain hope for the future for everyone puts their trust in Jesus Christ. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Certain hope means we will be raised to new life with Jesus forever. I've used this illustration a number of times, but it's so helpful here. Ashley ripped it off my friend Rory, so blame him. But imagine you're at an airport. You're about to get on a plane, say from Perth to Sydney. It's essential travel, right? So don't arrest me. You're at the airport. There's you, there's the plane, you're going to Sydney. What relationship do you need with the plane? Would it be helpful if you're under the plane? Submit to the plane's authority, put yourself under it. Would it be helpful if you're inspired by the plane? You go to the airport, you watch it take off, you whisper to yourself, oh, I'm going to do that one day. What about if you followed the plane? You see the plane, you know where it's going, you see the direction. You see it take off, you just keep following it, and eventually you're going to get to Sydney. Obviously, the key relationship you need with the plane is not under it, not behind it, not inspired by it. You need to be in it. Why? Because being in the plane, whatever happens to the plane, happens to you. The question of did you get to Sydney becomes a bigger question of did the plane get to Sydney? If the plane got to Sydney, and the answer is yes, then you're in the plane. Whatever happens to the plane happens to you. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're united to him. You're in union with him. You're super glued to him. Do you see what that means? His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. So whatever is true of Jesus is true of you. Did Jesus die on the cross for your sins? His death is your death. Did Jesus rise to new life, never to die again? His resurrection is your resurrection. There's no more certain hope than that. We will be raised with Jesus forever. Colossians 3 says of Christians, you have been raised with Christ. That's how certain it is. Even now, it's a done deal. It's now and not yet. Now it is true of Christians. You have been raised with him. That's your position. And you will be when he returns. In the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound. I don't do bang. Imperishable, raised, changed. That's certain hope. So, what do we do? Two things. How does this affect us? Let's finish up. Two things this Easter. Trust and stand. Firstly, trust. Put your trust in the risen Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's not difficult. Put your trust in the risen Jesus Christ. Do you really believe he died on the cross for your sins? Then trust him. Do you really believe that he was raised from the dead? Then trust him. Do you believe that death has been defeated? That you will be raised to new life with Jesus? Then trust him. Do you notice that you and I have not done anything this Easter? We don't celebrate Matt's great achievements of going to church. Actually, there's just a few of us here. So we're the only ones who turned up. I don't know what happened. There's no one else here. We don't celebrate that. We don't celebrate you logging online, church. We don't celebrate you being baptized, having communion, helping old ladies across the road. None of that. Because Jesus has done it all when he dies and rises again. So trust him. Secondly, stand firm in the risen Jesus Christ. Let nothing move you from him. If you believe that you are going to live even though you die, you have a certain hope in the future, you have a rock solid hope, then stand firm in it. Don't be moved by all sorts of other things that will whisper to you. Anything and everything will whisper at us right now to move us away from our solid hope in Jesus. Many voices, many words, so many false comforts try to offer us hope for our future, especially right now. What's your practical hope? What are you actually hoping in? This afternoon, what are you going to hope in? This week, what are you going to hope in? When the kids aren't going to school and you're going nuts, what are you putting your hope in? Stand firm. There's only one person who has the power and certainty to give you real hope for the future. Hold fast. That means saying no to false hopes. They won't do it. It means saying no to putting your trust in things that will never actually deliver. Don't be a Scrooge McDuck trying to dive into a mountain of gold and face planting. What happened there? No. Say no to false hopes and yes to Jesus Christ every single day. That'll mean opening your Bible. That'll mean praying. Show your friends, your family, whoever you're isolated with, show that Jesus matters to you by actually coming to him. Let his word dwell richly in you. Lift your eyes off of this world and the false hopes that it gives and onto the certain hope of the risen Jesus Christ. He is the only one. He is our living hope. Death could not hold him down. He is risen. So the question is, where do you stand with the risen Jesus this Easter? Where's your hope? Certain hope for the future is secured when death is defeated by Jesus. Certain hope means we'll be raised to new life with Jesus forever. Let's pray. Father, there are so many voices, so many false hopes that whisper to us right now. Father, forgive us for getting complacent, for forgetting about you. Some of us who are logging on today have never heard about this. And Father, we ask that you would open their hearts and minds to Jesus Christ, his death on the cross and his resurrection to new life. He is our living hope. And for us who are Christian, please, Father, lift our eyes off of the world and onto Jesus Christ, the certain hope for the future. He secured it when he defeated death. There's certain hope for the future that we will be raised with Jesus forever. We pray all this, not for our glory, but for yours, through the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.